Last February, Congressman Bruce Vento, seemingly a picture of good health, announced that he had a rare form of lung cancer and would not seek re-election to a 13th term in the U.S. House of Representatives. The announcement came as a shock. Few people survived the asbestos-related cancer that he had. And today, the story came to an end. Congressman Bruce Vento, who just turned 60 on Saturday, died at 11:20 this morning at his home in St. Paul, surrounded by his family and friends. For 24 years, Bruce Vento represented the St. Paul area in Congress. As Minnesota Public Radio's Mark Sedeklik reports, he will be remembered as a champion of the little guy, a man who stood up for the homeless and fought often unpopular battles for the environment.
When Congressman Bruce Vento announced he would not seek re-election because he had been diagnosed with cancer, support, encouragement, and praise for his public service poured in from the highest levels.
Bruce, Hillary, and I admire you, we love you, and we're grateful.
President Bill Clinton this past summer at a Washington salute and fundraiser for a scholarship in Vento's name.
I think the best thing I could say about Bruce Vento is the now very famous thing Henry Adams said nearly a century ago. A teacher affects humanity. He can never tell where his influence stops. Bruce, your influence will never stop. Thank you all, and God bless you.
Fourth District voters first sent Bruce Vento to Washington in 1976. It was the 36-year-old junior high science and social studies teacher's first bid for Congress. A lifelong resident of East St. Paul, Vento had served 6 years in the Minnesota legislature. He won the congressional seat vacated by fellow DFLer Joe Carth. Vento won again in 1978 and was reelected by wide margins throughout the 1980s. He left Congress on his own accord, but in the 1990s, Republican challengers made inroads in efforts to break the DFL's long string of control over Minnesota's 4th District. University of Minnesota Management Professor Ian Maitland ran against Vento 3 times, beginning in 1988.
I think maybe I underestimated him at the beginning. He seemed to be something of a party hack.
Maitland says campaigning against Vento was often unpleasant. He says Vento seemed bothered by election time challenges, and Maitland remembers a gruff Vento filibustering and interrupting during the limited number of debates he agreed to. But Maitland says over the years, his perception of Vento changed, and he grew to respect Vento as a tireless advocate for his constituents who understood the issues as well as anyone in Congress.
I'd started out not wanting to like him. It's very difficult to go after the opponent, your opponent's record, if you feel some sneaking affection or regard for your opponent. And I think towards the end, I felt I was restraining myself because of my newfound liking for him.
More than anything, Vento is being remembered for his attention to the environment. As chairman of the Natural Resources Subcommittee on National Parks, Forests, and Public Lands, he helped pass hundreds of laws to protect the environment and increase conservation and parkland. Republican Representative Jim Leach came to Washington from Iowa the same year as Vento, 1977.
He became the Democratic Party's greatest expert on wilderness issues, symbolized first concern for the Boundary Waters canoe area, but not alone. He would have worked on 200 to 300 wilderness projects that are going to be of seminal significance for the next century.
Vento was a fiercely loyal Democrat to be counted on in almost any partisan battle. But Republican Leach, the chair of the House Banking and Financial Services Committee on which Vento served, says Vento commanded respect of people in both parties.
Bruce has been a sterling congressman. He's brought a particular background up as well as a particular concern for people that's been very unique. In a way, Bruce, who had been one of the really fine teachers in Minnesota, became a teacher who came to Washington, who taught the Congress, I believe, a lot about American life. He led the Congress in concern for environmental issues, and he led the Congress in the banking arena for concern for the smaller customer.
Vento was also a well-known advocate for the homeless. In particular, he worked to pass what became the Steward B. McKinney Homeless Assistance Act, which under a reluctant Reagan administration, amended the Food Stamp Act to include outreach programs for homeless people. Monsignor Jerome Boxleitner, now retired, for decades headed Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. He became good friends with Vento, and he says with the congressman's passing, struggling Americans lose one of their strongest advocates in Washington.
I often thought, well, you know, he took care of the birds of the air, but he also took care of the people on the streets. I mean, he mixed well with the people who were poor. And it never treated them as if they were anything but peers. He had a great knack to show respect for people regardless of their economic condition.
Vento's struggle with lung cancer cut into his time in Washington. He had been in and out of Minnesota hospitals and maintained a relatively low public profile in his last month. His most recent public event was in mid-September for the renaming of a school. Bruce F. Vento Elementary is less than a block from the East St. Paul house where the congressman grew up.
And what an exciting day we have today.
Under a huge tent set up in the parking lot, neighborhood residents, political dignitaries, and elementary school students honored the congressman.
The name of the song is Vento, sung to the tune of She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain.
The kids wore matching Bruce F. Vento Elementary School t-shirts, compliments of a local pipe fitters union.
Oh, we've got a brand new name for our school.
Looking frail from cancer treatments, Vento graciously acknowledged the recognition. He placed a tiny congressional pin and a photograph of himself, President Clinton, and Minnesota Lieutenant Governor May Shunk in a time capsule.
You know, going to school is an everyday process. It isn't something that we accomplish and we're all done with. We have to put in our time every day to try and achieve and learn, so that we can develop our talents. And each of you, thank goodness, have special talents. Each of you are special persons.
Vento did not talk a great deal about his illness, other than to thank people for their support. He also noted the irony of an advocate for working people in clean air contracting cancer, most likely from exposure to asbestos, as a blue-collar laborer decades ago. His main message in his limited public appearances had been to underscore his belief in the importance of lifelong education and civic involvement. Here's some of what he said to state DFL activists one Saturday afternoon in February, days after he announced he was sick and would not seek re-election.
We put the standard behind what is public service and what public service is in this nation. It's no accident. You do it.
Minnesota Congressman Bruce Vento, who after nearly 12 terms, almost 24 years in Congress, died from complications from lung cancer. This is Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio.
This afternoon, Governor Jesse Ventura issued a statement of condolence.
First Lady Terry Ventura and I are very saddened by the passing of Congressman Bruce Vento. Our hearts and our prayers go out to the congressman's family and friends and all of those that knew him. And the people of Minnesota will long honor Congressman Vento's dedication to the needs of working people and his tireless defense, of course, of our natural resources. On behalf of all Minnesotans, we pay tribute to a man who unselfishly gave of his life for the good of his beloved state and nation. So, again, on behalf of the First Lady and myself, our condolences and prayers go out to the congressman's friends and family at this time.
Governor Jesse Ventura. Congressman Vento announced that he had cancer in February and immediately began a rigorous treatment program. The treatment sidelined him for a while, but in March he returned to Washington to his beloved House of Representatives to acknowledge his colleagues' expressions of concern and talk about the value of public service.
Madam Speaker, I know a few of you have noticed I hadn't been around the last month or so, and believe me, spending a month in Minnesota in February is not not necessarily a voluntary decision that one might make. I'd much rather have been with you. And so you know I have returned from and am experiencing a serious illness, but I wanted to point out some of the experience I had just briefly, and I will try to be brief, but I think the real mark of who we are as persons is who we can call our friends. If you are fortunate, you have those friends to fall back on and lean, and during the unexpected events of our lives, the disappointments and the challenges, I rise to say and to feel that I'm very fortunate and blessed to call so many of you and to many others my friends, especially during this period in my life as I do face this serious health challenge. Simply put, the outpouring affection that I have received has been overwhelming. From you, my colleagues, on both sides of the aisle, and from my constituents, my friends, and from my family, your cards and letters, calls and visits, not to mention your prayers, both spoken and unspoken, are very much appreciated. They have lifted the spirits of my staff, my family, and certainly myself. In early February, I was diagnosed with a rare form of...
Right, the house is not in order.
Madam Speaker, in early February, I was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer, mesothelioma, which required aggressive treatment. A month ago, I underwent pretty aggressive surgery. In the near future, I'll receive chemo and then radiation treatment on top of that. I am surely in the middle of a 10-round major event of my life, but my spirits are good, as you can tell, and I am optimistic. And I am greatly reinforced by the outpouring of support that has been so generously offered. The past 2 months have given me good cause to reflect upon and to genuinely appreciate the value of our collective experience. Victories savored, setbacks endured, and shared values. And to be sure, challenges ahead. For the past 24 years in this body, I've had the privilege to serve as a member. It's an honor, and I've been reminded most vividly of the strong bond that has been established with my constituents in Minnesota and the role of service in the United States Congress and the important work with other public servants similarly charged. Good people, good Americans. Too often, in my experience, it has served some political, cynical purposes to denigrate public service. I regret that. It's my belief each of us should aspire to inspire others, young people in particular, to give of ourselves and themselves as we have done, to define the differences between skepticism and cynicism. Indeed, in serving the people's interests, we should be proud and respectful. When direction is lost, when purpose is needed, no further than the words of Minnesota's happy warrior and my mentor, serve us well, the very embodiment of public service, Hubert A. Tumphrey, to guide us, and I quote, "If there is dissatisfaction with the status quo, good. If there is ferment, so much the better. If there is restlessness, I am pleased. Then let there be ideas and hard thought and hard work," I end quote. Together, as members of Congress, we would do well to strive to serve as Minnesota's Humphrey instructed us, to make people's lives better, to provide opportunity, and to give new hope. To me, the key of all we have done and continue to do is that we have done this together. And so as I make my plans to meet the new health challenge, I am grateful that I am not making this journey alone, but with so many cheering me on, my friends supporting and encouraging me. In the words of Tennyson, I intend to continue to strive, to seek, to find, and as most of you know me well, not to yield. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, my constituents, colleagues, my friends all, for the outpouring of concern and the care as I face this challenge. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Minnesota 4th District Congressman Bruce Vento in a speech to the House of Representatives last March. If you just joined us, we're remembering Congressman Vento this evening. He died this morning after battling a rare form of lung cancer. Bruce Vento was 60 years old. He served in Congress for 24 years. This summer, an extraordinary event was held in Washington to honor Bruce Vento, congressman and former science teacher. President Clinton, Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt, and scores of Minnesota politicians, both Democrats and Republicans, along with lobbyists, business leaders, friends, and former aides, all got together for a salute to Bruce Vento dinner. It raised more than $500,000 for a new Bruce Vento scholarship fund to help educate more science teachers. It featured some stirring speeches praising Congressman Vento and his work in Congress. And next up this evening, we're going to hear some of those remarks. We're going to begin with President Clinton, then we'll hear from Garrison Keillor. To begin, here's President Bill Clinton speaking at the Salute to Bruce Vento.
He has been a scientist and an environmentalist since his boyhood in Minnesota, and I reminded him today that one of my most memorable times as president has been a time I spent with him in Minnesota and with a number of others of you here from the Minnesota congressional delegation as well. Since 1977, he's been an advocate for science and the environment in the Congress. And I guess some of this will be said later, but I think it's worth, this is astonishing. And maybe even some of you don't know this. He has steered into law more than 300 bills to protect our natural resources. He has led in the preservation of hundreds of thousands of acres of wilderness from Minnesota's boundary waters to Alaska to American Samoa. That would have been record enough. But the thing I like even more is that Bruce Vento cares about people, especially people without a voice, the homeless. He's also been a leader for health care and education. And as anybody who's ever listened to him perform at any of these hearings, he's never stopped being a teacher. Time and time again, he's reached out to bridge the gap between researchers and lay people to help the rest of us understand both the majesty and the frailty of the natural world we inhabit. And tonight, as he fights a disease which has not yet yielded all its secrets to science, he's our teacher again. He's certainly shown us a lot about courage, and we're very grateful to him. Bruce has become a real friend to me over these last 7.5 years. He's been an honest and trusted advisor, and he's always said exactly what he thought. And as a consequence, I have also been his student, and I have learned a great deal. Bruce, Hillary, and I admire you, we love you, and we're grateful. And you've made me think this being term limited is not all bad. But let me say to all of you, I think the best thing I could say about Bruce Vento is the now very famous thing Henry Adams said nearly a century ago. A teacher affects humanity. He can never tell where his influence stops. Bruce, your influence will never stop. Thank you all, and God bless you.
President Bill Clinton speaking last June at a Salute to Bruce Vento dinner held in Washington, D.C. The event raised more than $500,000 for a Bruce Vento scholarship for future science teachers. Many other dignitaries spoke at that dinner, including Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt and Minnesota Public Radio's Garrison Keillor.
I am from Minnesota, and I just, honest to God, don't expect a lot. I'm glad to glad to just spend a few quiet moments here with you, here in a sort of a cloakroom as you wait to leap up and go off and vote, or whatever you may be doing this evening. I was chosen to come because I know less about Bruce Vento being his constituent than any of the rest of you in this room. The few times that I've come to Washington to lobby for public broadcasting and for the National Endowment for the Arts, I did not bother talking to Congressman Vento because he already supported it, so I never got a chance to come around and lobby him. I went off to talk to Republicans who had reservations about trends in American photography, and I had the experience of walking into one office after another and having a gentleman push a batch of Xeroxes across the desk towards me that Senator Helms's office had sent around. And I discovered the truth of that saying of Mark Twain, that naked people have little or no influence in society. It certainly was true for the NEA. Bruce Vento, when he comes back to St. Paul to campaign, is a very quiet and, I must say, self-deprecating candidate. He's not one to blow his own horn, and he doesn't really need to because St. Paul includes a lot of yellow dog Democrats like myself. We vote for Bruce Vento because he has the Heckscher mark of the Democratic Farm Labor Party on him. And we don't look any too closely, any more than you would look closely at your parish priest. We believe in a sort of apostolic succession, a sort of blessing that's been passed down from Hubert Humphrey to Walter Mondale and by way of Gene McCarthy, and so the 4th District, St. Paul and Ramsey County, has had but 3 congressmen in the last 50 years, Gene McCarthy and Joe Carth and Bruce Vento, a high school science and social studies teacher and a union guy and a Benedictine poet. And and we're proud of all 3 of them about equally. They were our guys. And on behalf of the people of St. Paul, I just am really touched by all of you who have come to this dinner this evening and to see how highly our guy is regarded here in Washington. We hope so, but it's good to see. Now, a place, people associate a place like St. Paul with some of its more famous sons and daughters, and St. Paul has often been confused with F. Scott Fitzgerald because he came from there. But of course, St. Paul is not anything like F. Scott Fitzgerald, and that's why he couldn't wait to leave. He had a great deal of elegance and romance about him, and it would have been wasted on us. So he took off for the coast, and most people were glad to see him go. So far as we know, he never admitted to any nostalgia for St. Paul whatsoever. St. Paul is not F. Scott Fitzgerald. F. Scott Fitzgerald comes from a little neighborhood of St. Paul, Ramsey Hill, Summit Avenue, but that's not St. Paul. St. Paul is a much more blue-collar city than Fitzgerald was ever interested in writing about. It has a certain redneck strain that it is proud of. It is a city of hard-working German and Irish, and I guess I better include Italian, immigrants who keep their noses to the grindstone and who are devoted to their Holy Mother, the Church, and who are a little bit suspicious of outsiders and of people who put on airs. Bruce Vento is a St. Paul guy. He's not a Fitzgerald character whatsoever. He doesn't have a shred of Fitzgerald in him. He is charismatic only to his friends. He's a man who's from the east side of St. Paul, and that's very different. The family's name, I believe, originally was Valentino, not Vento, and it was shortened because Valentino has associations that would not be useful to anybody in politics. We want to believe that politicians are either not interested or incapable. And if they are, we don't want to know about it. He comes from another part of St. Paul that is more like the people I come from. And although he grew up Catholic and I grew up Protestant, we come from the same background, and it taught us the same sorts of things. It taught us to not feel sorry for ourselves, because it's not about you. It's about the other people. It's about work, but it's not about you. You're not the center of it. You're not the first person who's ever gone through this, so don't take it too personally. Make yourself of use. Be useful. Pull your weight. Do your part. Be a good worker. Be a good worker. Everybody knows what a good worker is. Worker doesn't let down the other people who are working around you. You keep hold of the line, and you don't let go of it, and you don't make cheap displays that other people who know you well know are dishonest. And if you're elected to Congress, you buckle down and you do it. You are passionate to the principles that you were elected to serve, to the people who you were elected to speak for. You were sent to Washington to raise taxes on people like me. And though it's not a safe district, nonetheless, what loyalty you have in your account, you put to good use. And you use it to work bravely for things that don't pay a big political bonus. I don't know how the people on the east side of St. Paul feel about national parks. I doubt that national parks are at the top of their list. It's a brave and a good thing for their congressman to go do what needs to be done in behalf of that. Minnesota is a good place to teach a person about politics. For one thing, growing up in Minnesota, you realize that you are the object of mass national indifference. You realize that the majority of Americans don't have a clear idea of where Minnesota is, and it is not important to them. Except once every couple of years when we have a serious storm and comes down out of Saskatchewan or Manitoba, and then we get on the evening news briefly, and the evening news says 11 killed in deadly blizzard, and we sit in the comfort of our homes in St. Paul and we watch this scenes from hell, really from a tundra that we don't recognize from real life, but they're quite impressive on television. And we realize the myth-making capability of the media. We sit and watch this story, knowing full well that blizzards kill very, very few people, actually, outright. Many people, in fact, were planning to die about the time a blizzard comes along. And they decided they would rather do it with their overshoes on, and so they went out and they shoveled their driveways in much the way as an elderly Eskimo might take the long walk across the ice. And other people die in blizzards as the result of having done incredibly stupid things. They die because somehow hearing travel warnings aroused heroic urges in them to drive into town 15 or 20 miles for a bag of pretzels. And this they did, fulfilling some destiny. These deaths are a kind of natural selection, and have to be regarded differently. We look at these dire stories about a blizzard, and we sit in the comfort of our homes, and it's like the stories about scandal in Washington, in a way. The story about the blizzard is not meant for us. It's of no use to us. It's of no point, really. It doesn't represent our experience, and it's not helpful information. It is meant for people in Arizona, actually, to make them feel better about living on the desert. Just so stories about scandal in Washington, which is when Washington really is illuminated for most of us out in the hinterlands. Stories about scandal have very little to do with the reality of Washington. It is an occasion for the press to go around and shoot the wounded and the elderly, and everybody else goes on with their real business. It's an amusing story to people outside Washington, and of course it's a very good story if one can dwell on speculation and not be hamstrung by the facts. But it's a story that is for entertainment. The real story is, as always, the fact that people get up in the morning and they go to work. And that's, to me, is the story of Bruce Vento. He was brought up to get up in the morning and go to work. And despite all of the discouragements of life and the sorrows and all of the pains that we go through, nonetheless, after all of it and after all of the regrets and after realizing one night that you will never be 27 years old again, and even though it's good to believe in your own dreams, nonetheless your chance at a major film career have really faded now. You look a lot older than you feel. If Julia Roberts saw you, she would not be interested. Her glance would not even dwell on you for very long. We come to terms with all of these things, and then we get up in the morning, and America goes to work. And that's the story. That is the story. Week after week after week, year after year after year. We get up, and we go to work. We complain about it in a ritual way, but we do not curse it any more than farmers would curse the sun, because it is a blessing. And so we go off to be blessed by it. We're so pleased that we were able to contribute to the U.S. Congress a man who we're very proud of as a good worker, a man who lives out here in Washington, far from the Mississippi, lives out the ethic that he was brought up with of modesty and courage and passion. We love him so much that we are almost ready to say so, but instead of saying so, I am now going to introduce a brief but very illuminating video on his life. Mr. Congressman Bruce Vento, thank you.
He went down to the Union Depot in Collier, and he met Mr. Truman, Dancer Truman Danny down there at that time. I'll never forget that.
At that time, they had these open touring cars, and he ran alongside of the car, and Truman, you know, he kind of stuck out his hand and waved at him, and he just got the biggest bang out of that.
Just what a wonderful man. He came home, he says, Ma, boy, I tell you, I wouldn't mind being in his boots. That's why he made up his mind he was going to go into politics.
Yeah,
he was a very compassionate person for people that have problems, or if somebody said, well, I haven't got the money right now, on the paper route. And then the lady said, I only can pay you half now. My husband isn't working and stuff. So Bruce used to let it slide by. He says, well, forget about it. He says, I'll just take it out of my money that I would earn. And you know that lady afterwards, when he was running for office, gave the $25 donation, and she was on Social Security by that time.
Bruce first became congressman representing the 4th District. The 4th District was pretty much contained within the boundary limits of the St. Paul area. It was a blue-collar district. And Bruce knew from his background what it meant to have a good job and to have a livable wage because he came from a union family. He believes in helping those that can't help themselves, the working class people of this country.
It's about roots. And when an issue like dislocated workers comes up, Bruce comes from a lunch bucket roots. You're not going to forget that.
Bruce never forgot where he came from. He never forgot how he got there. And he never forgot what his mission was.
You know, you're not going to pick up a lot of votes from the homeless community. And yet, that was a major issue for him. And so for somebody to decide that that was important, even though there was no political gain in it, was important to me.
It was some year, the 80s or so, we suddenly, in charity, saw all kinds of people on the streets that we hadn't seen before. People are homeless. And so we opened the Dorothy Day Center, and Bruce came over to visit, see what was happening there. And he talked with the guys who were in there, and he realized that homelessness was just one aspect of the problem, that there were all kinds of difficulties here. So he saw all this, and he got on that McKinney Act. And that still is the most important federal program, and the only one, really, that's effective for homeless people.
One time he became involved in an issue that I just absolutely became obsessed with him about, because I felt he was making a bad mistake. And that was, there was a big dispute up in the Boundary Waters.
I remember going up with Bruce to Ely, Minnesota. They had a hearing up there, and Bruce was the chair of the hearing. And we drove in that day, and there were the logging trucks outside. They had, Bruce Vento hanging in effigy outside the hall.
And I said, well, Bruce, I'm going to tell you, you've signed your death warrant as it relates to you ever being able to run for a statewide election, because the 8th District will never, ever forget what your involvement means in this issue. He said, Bill, I can't help it. Not only will I do as I'm asked, I believe in it.
Bruce made the most beautiful, impassioned speech about why we protect land and why wilderness is important to people. And, that was one of the great moments, I think, where he just made such a stirring statement under such unfriendly conditions.
A freshman member coming in and playing that big a role in protecting the most popular wilderness in the United States is his greatest accomplishment.
Because of what Bruce Vento has done, there will be these tremendously beautiful, inspiring, spiritual places that people for generations to come will be able to visit.
Legacy's basically caring for people and caring for the future, I think, in terms of putting it in a broad perspective.
It's nice to be able to brag about your congressman to other people.
Well, Bruce may be retiring from Congress, but he's not going to be retiring from life. He's not going to retire from these important causes, because there are a lot of us in the wings who are going to keep nudging him along, because we need Bruce Vento for a long time to come.
Bruce Vento stands for something, and I want you to go on standing for it. I believe you will. I believe you can. Now go and do it.
Some highlights from last summer's Salute to Bruce Vento dinner held in Washington, D.C. It was fitting that special dinner was held to raise money to help educate more science teachers, because at heart, Bruce Vento never left the classroom. And to conclude our coverage this evening, we're going to hear what he had to say in one of his last public appearances. Last month, ceremonies were held to rename East Consolidated Elementary on St. Paul's East Side, the school that Bruce Vento attended as a child, to rename that school Bruce F. Vento Elementary. Congressman Vento's voice was weak by that time, but his words to the young students were strong and compassionate, the words of a teacher.
Just be a little while longer now. Students, if you got to stretch a little bit, why don't you all get up and stretch a little now? So that's a good idea. Yeah. I won't take too long. It's been a long program. Okay, let's sit down again. Just very quickly. I wanted to thank, of course, Superintendent Dr. Harvey, your leader in schooling and our leader in our community. I wanted to thank, of course, your teachers who are carrying on the day-to-day work. Going to school is a everyday process. It isn't something that we accomplish and we're all done with. We have to put in our time every day to try and achieve and learn so that we can develop our talents. And each of you, thank goodness, have special talents. Each of you are special persons. Of course, when this school started, the school I started attending, it was a small school, but it grew and includes now four or five different schools that make up Vento Elementary School. In fact, those schools my parents attended, my brothers and sisters, my children and nieces. And now today, of course,
you have the chance, the opportunity to attend schools, the same schools, under a new name. I'm very proud to have my name attached to this elementary school, and I hope that you get from it many rewards, but you have to put something in if you're going to take something out. I know from a long time, I come from a big family, and incidentally, I was born and raised at 457 K Street. That's all right, it's my fault. But it was just a half block down. So many changes have occurred in this area. But one of the good things is that we have this newer school. We don't have these older buildings anymore. And we have, obviously, these newer teachers to go with this new school who are working so hard. And we have all these new students, so you're going to do better. You need to do better than what we did when I was in school. And so I would just suggest and hope that when you come here, you receive the help you need, that you ask for help when you need it, and that you accomplish each day what you set out. You need to obviously help yourselves, and you need the help from your teachers and from those in the school district. I'm so very grateful to my former classmate. We went to school together, Dan Bostrom, and he helped name this school after me. But what's more important is what we're thinking about in naming this school, and that is the good things that'll come to you from this school. And the same is true of Becky Montgomery, the school board members and city council members. It's good to give an identity to it, and I hope in the years ahead that I can help in terms of the students here so that they can gain the knowledge and the assistance that they need to be able to contribute to our community, contribute to tomorrow's world, contribute to a better world for all. I have a few things to add to the capsule. I have a little congressional seal. It's very small, too small to see. And I have a photograph of the president, myself, and Lieutenant Governor May Shunk that was taken this year, 2000. We'll put that in the capsule. Now, the real key will be for all of you to remember where we put that time capsule. Because as I've been reading about time capsules lately, I found that very often people forget where they've been put or where they've been placed. We won't let that happen, so all of you, I want to keep a close eye on where we put the time capsule so that in 25 or 35 years, whatever the time is, we can open it up and rediscover what we thought was important in 2000 and what we think and hope will be important then. That is, you as a person and investing in kids. So I see so many of my friends. I can't go through it all, but I want to thank my family for being here, my 7 brothers and sisters, my 3 sons and their spouses, my grandchildren. It always reminds me that in life we don't do things alone. We do them together. That's how we're successful in Congress, believe it or not, even after all that argument, is by working and doing things together. In fact, cooperation and doing things together is uniquely an American trait. It has taken us a long way in 200 years. And with God's help, and with your good work, cooperation will take us for a long way in the future. Thank you very much for this honor. Have a great day. Have a great year at Bento Elementary.
Congressman Bruce Vento, speaking last month at an elementary school on St. Paul's East Side, a school that is now named Bruce F. Vento Elementary. Congressman Vento, science teacher, legislator, and for 24 years Minnesota's 4th District Congressman, Bruce Vento died today at the age of 60. His funeral will be held Friday in St. Paul. For Minnesota Public Radio, I'm Gary Eichten.